session number 7175-306.
Sir Alexander Stania, Rule 6. So if I can summarise your positions, you had your companies laid out just beyond the built-up area of Boulogne.
Correct.
And the soldiers were distributed in three-man isolated fire bays. Who actually told the soldiers where to dig their foxholes?
I think the platoon commanders. I gave the areas, which were all crossroads, which is the only thing, they didn't link up with farther way round. We couldn't do that. We held the main crossroads.
And was there any dead ground between the companies, or were they all
yes, I'm afraid there was.
So it was an infiltration?
Yeah. We had too big a front. But if we went further back, then we lost touch by the houses.
Did you have any anti-tank weapons attached to your battalion?
We had these little guns. I think there were about four or six of them. They had nothing to tow them with, but we did get them onto some lorries down in the docks. Once we unloaded them, we couldn't get them back again. And so they only fired once at the German tanks, and directly the company withdrew. We had to leave them behind. There was no means of moving them.
Were they actually put into sangars or pits, or were they just in
the open? No, there was no time. They were out in the open, I'm afraid.
Did you have all your companies lined up, or did you have any in reserve?
No, they were all in. They were all lined up,
including the headquarters company.
Yeah.
What about your mortars and machine guns? Where
did they go?
Well,
they were spread about as much as we could.
Did you?
But the mortars didn't have any ammunition, so that was a waste of time.
What about machine guns? Did they?
Well, we had a certain amount of ammunition, but it all had to be carried by hand. So we had to say to people, "Be jolly careful about it. Don't go wasting it."
So it was a sort of rationing.
Because it was only in boxes. It took two men to carry a box. So it meant reducing the numbers in the line every time we were sent for more ammunition. There was quite a stack of it, I think, down in the town, but it was a long haul up.
You didn't have any transport?
Well, we kept on finding odd cars and lorries about. And the quartermaster was very good at collecting things and transport them.
What happened to the machine guns? And did you place them personally, or did you just dish them out to company commanders and tell them to put them in position?
And honestly, I don't remember them there. Can't remember them.
So
I'd like to check up whether we took any.
It's
remember the anti-tank guns? The anti-tank rifles, but I don't remember, and the Bren guns, but I don't remember the machine guns.
What was the position of battalion headquarters?
Start off with, we were in the front line because we were in a school at a crossroads, which we were so spread out. I had to put the headquarters company to cover it. Later. I found that when the Germans began shelling it and coming close, I did withdraw down the lip of the hill to this waterworks, particularly for the night.
Did you have any means of communication with the company headquarters?
None at all, excepting by two motorbikes. That's all for the whole battalion, because the signal equipment was left in England, come on the next boat. Every time I sent down to the quay to collect it, the man or the officer never came back. Eventually I got hold of an officer and I said, you will go down there and you will come back. Whatever happens, you will not get involved in anything. Don't wait for it. Come back and report to me. He came back and he said, every half hour, that an officer on the embarkation staff shuts the gates, says, everybody on the quay, onto the boat and back to England. And so every time I sent for the signalling equipment, the man who I sent for it to collect it went back to England. So we never got it.
These motorbikes, were they local motorbikes that you requisitioned?
Yeah. I had a car which I picked up in the road, and somebody taught me that you can start it, you can use a sardine opener to as a key. It worked.
The hot wire method, much favoured by London criminals.
That's right.
Did you spend most of your time in your battalion headquarters, or were you out and about?
Out and about the whole time. Hardly ever there.
So you were able to exercise a fair bit of control and influence over what company commanders were doing.
Yeah. And I had this other company to place in that came late, which had been left behind, remember one. And, I was inspecting, I just got as far as number three company, which held the crossroads at Mount Lambert at 7:30 in the morning when the Germans attacked. And we were, the little farm the company headquarters was in was being shelled by the tanks. And I had quite a difficult job getting out of the farm to get back to my car, to go back to the company behind.
What did you do with the company that came late when it arrived?
That I put in reserve, although it was the left-hand company in the front line, because we were in a shape of an L or a V.
So it's a dogleg front.
And number three were where my nails are, do you see, my fingers.
The join.
And number four, the reserve, the number one, the last company to come was down here. But of course, the Germans were just likely to come in here because I had an open flank.
You had your open flank towards the coast, Coast Road.
Mm.
What was your view like from the line you'd taken up? Did you have a good view?
Quite good. Quite good enough. Oh, yeah. The Germans couldn't get near us without showing themselves. But they had tanks, and we hadn't got a tank gun to shoot them with.
And what was the ground like? Was it open and fields?
Open fields, grass, yeah.
Not heavily wooded or...?
No, not at all. No, not too bad. There was a little village which the German tanks came through. Some came down the main road, just down the main road. They came shooting straight down the road. I saw them. I was in the farm.
How far away was this little village which the Germans...
Oh, 1,000 yards. Less.
So it wasn't a very long distance.
No.
What was your first sight of the enemy?
Well, that had been in the afternoon. I saw a chap in a hedge with his field glasses looking at us.
How far away was he?
1,000 yards.
And how did you see him? How did you spot
Somebody
him?
Pointed him out to me, I think.
But presumably you were looking through your own field glasses. You
yes, then I saw him, yeah.
Didn't see him with the naked eye.
Yeah, if you'll switch that off a minute.
Did you do anything about this German lurking behind the hedge?
Oh, yes. We fired at him. He went away. And then we saw others during the afternoon, odd ones, but jolly difficult to see. I mean, they just came up this hedge on this ridge. Well, then... in the evening, they came and probed a little bit with some light tanks, and we fired at them, and the tanks went away. We think we hit one, but I never saw it.
They were in the dusk, were they?
But then it's the light. Then it got dark.
Yes.
And we spent the whole of the night patrolling, trying to find them, and there wasn't a sign of a German anywhere. Because, of course, they'd withdrawn their tanks about 6 miles down the road, and were having a jolly comfortable night and a meal and a while we wasted our time patrolling, looking for them.
How far forward of your position did your patrols go looking for them?
I think a mile.
And they were all foot patrols?
They went right up to the village, this village in front, which I said was 1,000 yards. And they said the village was, there was nobody in the village. And the villagers said that the Germans had gone away. They'd retreated, it was a great word, you see, but they hadn't. They'd withdrawn, which is really different.
And they didn't meet any German infantry or anything?
Nothing at all. They were absolutely dead quiet. Not a shot was fired.
When you said that they probed your position in the afternoon with light tanks, how close did they actually get before turning back?
About 1,000 yards, I think. Yeah, about 800.
About a long way away. Did they?
Yes. I mean, the distance of this field away, out there.
So that must be about 750 to
1,000. Yeah, 800 to 1,000 yards, sort of thing.
And you just shot at them with the little anti-tank guns. Rifles as well.
Yes, well, the anti-tank guns weren't in a very good position for them. Directly they found where they were, they shot them up. And as they weren't dug in, most of them were put out of action straight away.
This was on this the first tanks. Probing
yeah.
attack.
Mm. That afternoon, some of them fired the next morning. But they were still not properly done. Well, it takes hours to dig them in, you see. They were things on wheels.
They were 2-pounders, were they?
Yes,
those little things.
Exactly what they were.
What sort of fire did the Germans put onto your position from their tanks?
Spandau and light anti-tank stuff. And they also brought up artillery and fired shrapnel over us.
What, on the afternoon, the first afternoon?
No.
Later
no,
on?
No, no, in the morning attack.
But in the first afternoon?
First afternoon was just probing, very little fire.
Yes.
We just saw them and they were thinking. And directly we fired, they went away. So we kept on thinking we were driving them off.
But perhaps they were just trying to draw your fire to
That's
find out where you were.
We gave away all our positions. I learnt that lesson. That's all exactly what we did. We told them where we were.
And then you had a quiet night, presumably. Did any of your men manage to get any sleep during the night?
Oh, I think so, yes. Yeah, some of them were very tired by that time. They hadn't slept much on the boat the night before. They'd been marching and digging all day. But they, on the other hand, they did. A lot of them had to go out on patrol. Each company had a patrol out.
How big were these patrols? Were they?
Oh, about 8 men, I think.
So they're reconnaissance patrols rather than fighting patrols.
Yeah, yes. Oh no, reconnaissance.
How about you? Did you manage to get any sleep that night?
Yeah, I must have lain down in the school, yes. Must have a bit of time. Anyhow, I was out at 6 o'clock in the morning. Directly got light. And I'd got up to number 3 company, which was on the left.
On
before
the open
it turned
flank.
Back. Just the most pointed point. And that was about 7:30 when I got there, and I'd got around half the battalion by then. And as I was there, I saw the German tanks coming, bursting out of the village, and firing at the little anti-tank guns which were just down in the hollow below me. And also began they put one or two rather close to the farm where I was, peering over the wall. And they fired at the men holding the crossroads at Mount Lambert.
What sort of strength were they in?
The tanks?
Yes.
I think it'd be a squadron coming there.
Have you any idea what sort of tanks they were?
They moved quite fast. They were light tanks. They weren't very heavy tanks.
So there'd be Panzer IIs or IIIs, presumably.
That's right.
What sort of formation were they in?
They were in threes, as far as I can remember, the tanks you're talking about. One would be in front, and the other two would be looking out either side, protecting it.
So they were on a triangular formation.
Mm. They burst out of the village, one behind each other, and then spread out.
So they came out in a column, and then they went out on either side, formed triangles,
right,
and just motored towards you.
Yes, right. But rather going away from us, they didn't come absolutely straight at us. They swerved away to the right as if they were going towards Calais that way, and then hid themselves behind some hedges or something. And then they came in again, right at the back of us, down towards the town, where the last company had taken up its position.
So they were probing your left flank then?
Yes. So when I left number 3 company, which was being attacked, I withdrew from the farm, left the company commander there, got in my car, motored down the road to see the company that had just arrived, the one that had arrived late, see that they were all right. And I went with the company commander down a little passageway, and Brigadier Fox Pitt was there as well, and looked out, and we saw some tanks. And we thought they were British tanks. We couldn't believe that the Germans had been so quick. They'd come from number 3 company round, and they were already down as fast as me motoring down the road.
So they'd done a very rapid outflanking.
Oh, yeah, so they were belting out as fast as they could. It was all smooth fields. There was nothing to stop them. They set the roadblocks on fire, but they didn't come down the road. They just set the fire, so it was all furniture. And all they had to do was to fire a few bullets into it and started firing. We had an awful job because, I don't say the Germans did it on purpose, but they were covered by civilians who were pouring down from the village, down towards Boulogne, in front of the German tanks.
So they were screened by these refugees.
So the Germans were screened by them. I'll say a great many things against the Germans, but I don't think they did it deliberately. The French people, the refugees, were trying to get into Boulogne. And it happened that the Germans were following behind them.
So you couldn't really fire.
Well, it was very difficult. Well, they directly, we fired and the Germans fired. They all fell into the ditches at the sides and sort of crouched like this, poor things. And the bullets went over their head. Some of them may have been killed, I don't know.
Were these German armoured vehicles supported by any infantry when they made this attack in the morning?
Never saw any infantry, no.
It was a purely AFV attack then.
Attack. And they were very bold. They were fairly charging about. As I say, they went a hell of a bat down the side. And in the evening, their reconnaissance cars were driving down the into the town all along the quayside.
How close did they get on this morning effort then? Did they come right into your positions?
No. They never penetrated anything at all. About as far as those poplar trees, about 1,000 yards away.
So they just stood off and shelled you, did they? They didn't actually come right in.
No, they just fired a few shots. Mm. We fired back. Chap said, Welsh Guards there, Welsh Guards there. They didn't take any prisoners. They didn't know who we were. Except they'd been told, I believe, by the spies.
Did you suffer casualties as a result of this German attack in the morning?
In the morning. I don't think we had any casualties until the morning.
What was the main cause of casualties? Was it shell fire or machine gun?
I should think machine guns off the tanks. We held a crossroads with about 4 little houses round it and a staminet and about 2 little cottages. And a very gallant officer was in position in front of them, looking towards the enemy, looking east. When the tanks began to get round behind him, he thought, this is no good, I better withdraw back so that I can shoot them up from the other side. And of course, directly he got up and ran back to take up his position behind. He got half his platoon back, and half got shot up, including him. He was killed. That was moving your position under fire. It's a lesson. Don't, you've got to stick it out. If they get round behind you, you're a prisoner, and that's bad luck.
Presumably this was the German technique to force you to break cover by rendering your position untenable by manoeuvre, and then shoot you up when you were in the open.
They were very, very well trained, I can tell you.
Did they have any support from artillery or mortars that you were aware of?
They certainly had artillery, and they lobbed quite a few shells into the town as well as onto us, but more into the town.
How long were they actually shooting at you? How long did this attack last, this one?
In the afternoon?
No, the one in the morning.
Morning? Mm. Oh, that continued all day until night. It started 7:30 in the morning, and it was continuous until dark.
Well, they were just standing off about 1,000 yards away and blatting at you.
Yeah. And then moving round into behind some more houses and shooting up another road if you thought you'd move there. Every time you moved, they shot you up.
So you were moving back into the town as
we
this was going on?
Gradually, as they circled round, because we'd got this open flank, and the tanks had not come from Calais to fill that gap.
As expected.
As expected. Brigadier Foxpitch, quite rightly, decided to withdraw us into the town. Well, then we took up a position halfway through the town. Then we were told to withdraw to the quay side. Well, the only way I could tell them to withdraw was to go myself, so, or send somebody else. So I sent somebody to the other two companies, or the other three companies. But number three company, who'd had the brunt of it in the morning, had got so far to... I knew where they were, in a white house, to see it up the crossroads in the middle of the town. I said, I know where they are. It's in the middle of the town. I know the street. I can find it. I'll go there. I went there. And, of course, they were being shot at. So was I. But I went to the door, and it was locked, and I banged on the door, and I did everything possible, and I couldn't get anyone to open it. And eventually, I couldn't stay there any longer. I mean, there were too many bullets flying about. So I jumped into my car, and my gallant driver drove me back down the street. Afterwards, I learned, of course, that somebody had gone to the company commander, and after a long time, it said, I think there's somebody banging at the door. Shall I open it? First of all, he said, I better go and look out of the window and see. Well, of course, all the windows were barricaded. The time they'd opened the window to look out, of course, I'd gone. Well, they did see me. They said, oh, it's the commanding officer. He's just gone. You can see him going down the road. I'd waited another minute. Anyhow, they were left behind. Well, then the usual thing happened. During the night, the Germans withdrew again and had a quiet night. And number three company, having been surrounded, suddenly found there was nobody there. So they walked down to the quay quite happily. But we'd all gone. There were no ships.
When were you actually given the order to not just to fall back into the town but to withdraw through the port? Can you remember when it arrived?
I think about 6 o'clock.
On the second day?
On the second day.
And how did it come to you?
Oh, by an officer came on a motorbike in my battalion quarters. And I happened to be there. And so I had sent the second command or somebody to go to the other companies, tell them, go down to the quay, and I'll go to number three. Then, when I couldn't get hold of number three, I came back and I stood with Brigadier Foxpit on the bridge, which crosses the quay. And checked through, and everybody came through excepting number three company. Brigadier Foxbit said, well, can't help it, I'm going to blow the bridge. So we blew the bridge, but we blew it very badly because it's an enormous bridge. I looked at it when I went over about a couple of years ago. It would require an enormous bomb to do anything. Anyhow, number three company walked over it, despite the fact it was blown. But alas, there were no boats to get on.
Who'd actually prepared the bridge for demolition?
Sappers.
But they hadn't got enough explosive.
Well, it's an enormous. It's more than a bridge, actually. It's an enormous thing.
More of a course.
Well, there is no, because you can let it can open, I think, with things.
There's a swing bridge, is it?
Swing bridge, I think. Now you're asking me. I think the middle part. Can, I think there's a crack in the road. I think I've seen it yet. I think they would have blown that better. Anyhow, it fell in, but you could still
get across. Mm. But you couldn't have got a vehicle across.
I shouldn't. Well, of course, I didn't see it, so I can't tell you. Mm. They had no vehicles to come, so it didn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. It may have stopped the Germans.
So if I can summarise this phase, you got the order at 6 o'clock in the evening to withdraw back into the port and evacuate. You couldn't get hold of number three company because of the noise and confusion of battle, but you were able to get the order through to the others, and they were able to fall back. Presumably you fell back once darkness was closing in, through the streets into the port area, over the bridge onto the quay, and you were able to embark them. Sounds like it went fairly smoothly, that operation.
Well, fairly. The destroyers were firing their guns point blank at the tanks.
Because the tanks followed you up, did they, through the streets?
Followed it up. And they had reconnaissance cars. I think they had tracks on them at the back and tires in front.
Half tracks,
that thing. Yeah. Those sort of things were appearing all over the place and then shooting up a street. Before you could let fire, the chap had disappeared. He'd had a look at you and knew where you were. We knocked out one. The destroyer actually knocked him out. You saw the chap jumping out of the car. It hit it. And then we got onto the thing. Well, the quay was absolutely solid with troops, adjutant general staff, and army reservists, pioneer battalions, old men's battalions and all this sort of thing, lines of communication.
Still solid with people.
Solid with people. Well, Welsh Guards to the front, I said. Up to the top end, all the Welsh Guards. Up to the top end we went, as far as we could go. But two of my companies, unfortunately, got stuck and the crowd began crowding round them. And they sat down and thought they'd come far enough. During this time, the Germans began bombing us from the air. And I had a very lucky escape there, because I saw the bomb in the air. They were very small ones in those days. You could see them, the chap. There he was. You could see him in the thing. And I dived under a railway truck with the Padre and another young officer, Sobleton. And the bombs went off on the pave all round us. But they didn't hit us. So when it had blown up, I got up and said to the Padre, and the other one was dead. And yet we all three lay together, much closer than I am to you. Still, when it was shock, and he must have been killed by shock, I think.
Or concussion.
Yes, concussion. We were under the truck. Well, those sort of...